welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to another episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com. And a huge thanks to ParadigmShift.tv, which gets this shown on Sky Satellite Channel 201. And a huge thanks to all the other folks out there who help spread the word about these and our other related shows. James, let's get right into the geopolitical situation unfolding all around the world with a story that we'll take from Kurt Nimmo. U.S. preparing more sanctions against Iran over Saudi murder plot. Will the U.S. exploit the latest dubious terror case to attack Iran? On Tuesday, October 11th, the Justice Department announced it had uncovered a plot by Iran to enlist a member of the Mexican drug cartel to kill Saudi Arabia's envoy in Washington, D.C. The FBI and the DEA uncovered the plot, according to officials. The FBI has a long track record of using informants, informers, and agent provocateurs to entrap dupes who are then described as dangerous terrorists. Mansour Arbabsiar, a naturalized U.S. citizen holding an Iranian passport, allegedly arranged for the assassination by contacting a man he thought worked for a Mexican drug cartel, but was in fact a DEA agent. Arbabsiar was arrested on September 29th at New York's JFK Airport. Ghulam Shakouri, described as Arbabsiar's contact, has also been charged in connection with the alleged plot, but remains at large. The plot was not Arbabsiar's idea. It was suggested by the DEA agent, who told Arbabsiar that he would need four men to carry out the assassination and that his price was $1.5 million. At the State Department, Hillary Clinton praised what amounted to entrapment, and the U.S. will now use the case to call for more severe sanctions against Iran. The current sanctions are considered weak and unlikely to stop Iran from continuing its nuclear energy program. China, Russia, India, and Turkey have resisted more stringent sanctions that endanger business deals with Iran. So, James, it's another week and another big terror bust.
Yes, very, very interesting one. Well, I have a couple of points to make about this, but first let me throw in the caveat and the proviso for people out there who don't know. We're recording this on Thursday morning here in Japan. That's Wednesday evening in North America. So if what we're talking about sounds a bit dated by the time that this gets uploaded, it's because this is actually, you know, 24-hour turnaround on these videos. So we're not exactly up to the moment with this, but I'm sure it's a developing story and there will be other stuff coming out in the next few days. But I think a couple of really interesting points to note. First of all, in that Nimmo article that you were reading from, I think it's important that he notes back in January, Israel was saying Iran is the sanctions aren't working to stop the Iranian nuclear program, so other methods will have to be found to stop them, and lo and behold, this comes up. So I think it's this works out extremely well for Israel, and now that this is being turned into some kind of Iran versus Saudi Arabia kind of story, there's that angle to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's also interesting to watch how basically the Gulf states and the Middle East are being sort of carved up and set against each other in what could be a divide and conquer strategy. And people have been pointing out to things like Lindsay Williams talking about how Saudi Arabia was going to be double-crossed in the end by America. So it's interesting to see how all of this will play out geostrategically, but obviously the core of this is the FBI and the DEA with undercover informants in the Mexican drug cartels busting a terror plot against Saudi Arabian ambassador to America in Washington. What a bizarre story. What a bizarre linkage all of this is. And first of all, I mean, what does this possibly serve Iranian interests at this point, at this time, this critical juncture when the whole world is set up against them and their nuclear plan, their strategy to develop nuclear energy? Why? What would it be in their interests to start this ambassador assassination plot on U.S. soil, of all places? It's ridiculous on its face. And then secondly, the FBI, the DEA, Mexican drug cartels coming up and being the hero and saving the day. Where have I heard this conjunction of characters, and why would it be important to cast them in a good light right now, James?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Now remember, kids, the DEA and the Mexican drug cartels, it'll be important in just a moment. And I'll wrap up before we jump to story number two. A related update to, you know, as we said, another week, another terror bust. In the underwear bomber trial, the Mutalab trial, initially he was calling Detroit attorney Kurt Haskell as his defense witness, who was one of the guys all along who's disputed the story and has talked about some of the other players in the underwear bomber story. Then abruptly, Mutalab pled guilty, and now that's basically going to shield any kind of government complicity, and it ensures that the well-dressed man who aided Mutalab on the plane bypassing security said, "We're from the Sudan and we do this all the time." That guy's now going to go down the memory hole. But James, what you're referring to, the nexus of players, takes us to story number two with another recent piece from CNN just a few hours ago as I speak to you. Congress issues subpoena for Holder and others in fast and furious probe. Congressional investigators have issued a subpoena for communications from several top Justice Department officials, including Attorney General Eric Holder, relating to the discredited Fast and Furious federal gun running operation. Operation Fast and Furious involved agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, ATFE, allowing illegal sales of guns believed to be destined for Mexican drug cartels to walk from Phoenix, Arizona gun stores into Mexico. The idea was to track the sellers and purchasers of guns to Mexican cartels, but the program became mired in controversy after weapons found at Mexican and American murder scenes were traced back to the program. Mexican officials and critics in the U.S. called the program a failure, saying it exacerbated the longstanding problem of U.S. weapons getting into the hands of the violent Mexican cartels. Now, I have a story that goes to last week, posted to MediaMonarchy.com, and we'll provide that as the related flashback, asking the question, could the Fast and Furious gun running scandal bring down the Obama administration? So, James, here is, again, the nexus of cartels, federal agencies, and patsies. And again, they say, oh, the program was a failure. I would say it was a, you know, smashing success as far as the geopolitical elites are concerned.
Yeah, well, there are certainly a lot of levels to this, and I don't think it'll come as a surprise to any of our longtime viewers or listeners that that this nexus has resulted in all of what we're seeing right now. I mean, I think the connection between the intelligence agencies and the Mexican drug cartels and all of this has long since been established. But on that note, I recently had a chance to talk to Bill Conroy of Narco News on this subject, so I suggest people download that interview. And by the time you see this on Thursday in North America, but tomorrow morning I'll have an eye-opener report coming up on BoilingFrogsPost.com about this topic and about intelligence agencies and drug running and all of that. Because the Fast and Furious is not just gun running. Wait, there's more. It's also about drug trafficking. And there's a court case right now with Zambada Niebla, who's part of this Sinaloa drug cartel in Mexico, who's basically saying, well, hey, I was just working with I was working with the intelligence agencies, and now they've invoked the Classified Information Protection Act, the CIPA, to stop information coming out about the case, meaning basically, yes, the intelligence agencies were involved with this. So another very interesting aspect to this that's developing right now, and I think it's more than just a rhetorical question of whether this can bring down the Obama administration. I think it's a very real possibility, depending on whether we can we get distracted with this Iranian terror nonsense and all of that, or whether people will actually, whether Congress will continue to hold these politicians' feet to the fire.
Mm. And I was glad that, you know, and again, James, I think we try and do a broad overview of a lot of stories. And of course, you know, on New World next week within this format, there's no way that we can do a comprehensive coverage of everything. But this Fast and Furious scandal was something I did want to kind of get on the record here on New World next week. But as we move to our third story, is posted to my cyberspacewar.com. Virus infects Creech Air Force Base systems piloting attack drones overseas. So an attack drone killed Anwar al-Awlaki, an American citizen, late last month with, of course, you know, teenagers piloting, you know, video game style drones. But I digress. Now, computer systems at Creech Air Force Base, which is in Nevada and near Nellis Air Force Base, I believe, which run drone missions overseas, are infected with a virus, reporting from Danger Room with their exclusive computer virus hits U.S. drone fleet. We keep wiping it off and it keeps coming back, says a source familiar with the network infection, one of three that told Danger Room about the virus. We think it's benign, but we just don't know. The security status of the drone operation is summarized, quote, specialists don't know exactly how far the virus has spread, but they're sure that the infection has hit both classified and unclassified machines at Creech Air Force Base. That raises the possibility, at least, that secret data may have been captured by the keylogger and then transmitted over the public internet to someone outside the military chain of command. So, what is next? A false flag operation with commandeered drones remote piloted by Islamic terrorists? Maybe just like the recent remote control Rezwan plot, James, that we reported just 2 weeks ago.
Yes, very eerily similar or echoes of that kind of stuff, isn't it? And coming out at this exact time and coming out just a week or two after an incredible story broke at rawstory.com about how the CIA has used pirated software to run their drone missions, that they stole illegal pirated software and are using that as their the basis for their drone missions. And now we have things like the Navy reporting that there was a drone aircraft flying in the Capitol airspace off course. They couldn't control it because of software issues just a few weeks ago. So just crazy stuff happening right now, and to me this definitely smacks of false flag setup, because it's one of those wonderful stories that they love to use. It's just, oh, the government's just so incompetent, they just can't get their act together, and oh, these silly people use this illegal pirated software, and oh, they've got this key logging software that's giving all their details out, and oh, the Islamic fundamentalists managed to get a hold of it, and now they're using the drones against them. It smacks so much of a setup for a false flag, so I really hope people aren't buying this, and I hope they'll look into this story, because it smacks of something that's going to develop a lot more in the future and probably be very important at some point.
So the Raw Story article that you mentioned, CIA used pirated inaccurate software to target drone attacks, is from Raw Story, and they also quote the aforementioned Bill Conroy of Narco News. So again, it is all really connected. James, as you and I were doing a quick little bit of homework before we started to roll here, we saw from just 45 minutes ago from where I am, from Forbes, the military now says computer virus wasn't directed at drones and it had something to do with just trying to steal passwords into online gaming. So take with that and do with that what you will. But I was going to reference again, as all these things are so connected, and I think folks out there, as you said, that have watch the show for a long time, and other folks out there who are far more knowledgeable about all of these things than you and I are, James, really will see, I think, the connection between these drones, the gun running, the DEA, the software, which, you know, governments have never been shy about stealing software. You can just go back and look at the Octopus and the Inslaw case. And something I wanted to reference, as you were talking about in our first story of people calling for sanctions, and then lo and behold, we have events that, you know, the problem, reaction, solution situation. The Council on Foreign Relations, in addition to Israel, have been writing and clamoring for more sanctions, saying that the ones that they have now have no teeth, James.
Right, exactly. And yeah, Israel was saying the sanctions aren't working, so there's going to need to escalate. And here we are, and it's escalating as we speak. So all I can say is that I hope this doesn't turn into what it looks like it's starting to turn into, which is a World War III type setup, startup. And I've always said World War III starts in Iran. So, and it's interesting to see also the Syria propaganda has been ratcheting down in recent weeks, and now the Iranian propaganda is about to ratchet up. So So who knows? Who knows where this is leading, but it's probably not leading somewhere good. Hopefully Congress can step in and get something going with Fast and Furious and maybe bring down the Obama administration. Who knows? We'll have to see. At any rate, we're out of time. So James, thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much. Take care.